Welcome to session 3 of Wake Up Productive. We are now going to enter the third week of focusing on the inner game of productivity. And this session is called Streamlining Your Inner Game for Friction-Free Focus. And we're going to talk about some techniques and some methods to get rid of some of your inner friction, to free up some of the energy and focus that you have. But let's check in real quick and see how you're doing. So we talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about getting this first personal success ritual together. So the first thing you do in your life is you make yourself strong before you go out to your work or to make others strong. How are you doing with that? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you waking up and going right into your ritual, getting your water, your exercise, and that all-important first meal? I hope so. If you're not doing that, then the rest of the stuff that we're going to talk about is not going to give you much leverage in your life. And if you are doing that, if you're following your personal success ritual every morning, it's going to create that foundation that's going to allow all the rest of this stuff to work. Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. So in this session, the first thing that we want to do is we want to fire the head of your success prevention department. Okay? You've got someone inside of you that's heading up success prevention, and I think they're probably doing a pretty good job of it. We all have somebody that does that inside of us. One part of us is trying to prevent us from success. It's counterintuitive, right? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel right that there would be a part of us that's trying to prevent us from having success. How could that be? Well, it's not that that part is really trying to prevent you from having success as much as it's trying to keep things the same way. It's trying to keep you in your comfort zone, and it's trying to keep that part of you in its comfort zone. And indirectly, or maybe actually directly, this is affecting your success. And so what we want to do is we want to identify that part of you that's preventing you from having success. And we want to fire that head of success prevention. Maybe we won't fire them. Maybe we'll just lay them off for a little while and keep a good relationship with them, because we want to actually keep that part of us that keeps us safe, keeps us comfortable, and keeps our life working. But we want to, you know, reduce the power of the part of us that is preventing us from getting to the next level. Now, we have structures inside of us that create conflict and create different types of friction. And these things, these structures, or these underlying interactions, or these values conflicts, or however you want to think about it, these things are something that we need to address, and that's what we're about to do. So let's talk a little bit about the word friction. What does friction mean, especially in this context? Well, the way I'm using it here, the word friction means an inefficiency. Things aren't flowing smoothly. You aren't streamlined. Everything isn't flowing. It's something that causes a block or an inefficiency that happens internally. And what we'd really like to do here is we'd like to free those things up so that you have a nice streamlined, smooth-flowing, efficient internal process. So as an example, one of the things that we brought up in one of the last sessions here was the idea of the three brains. Remember that? Well, if your three brains are in conflict, let's say that physically you really want to do something, okay? You want to go eat something that sounds like it's going to taste really good, right? Or your stomach is going, oh, I really want that. But emotionally you feel like, oh, I would feel guilty if I eat that. And logically you're thinking, you know, if I eat that, I'm not going to feel good in a few hours. And so you've got this inner conflict. Well, that's inner friction. Okay, that's a perfect example of inner friction. Friction that's coming from the inside, it's coming internally. It's being generated by a mismatch between the way different parts of you want to get gratification, or their sense of what good and bad and right and wrong and useful and unuseful are. And when you have those types of things, it becomes very difficult to make a lot of progress. And so in a lot of cases, you know, you've got a part of you that wants to go for it, get outside your comfort zone, go for something that might lead to a big success. But there's another part of you, all right, that's the head of the success prevention department, that's not comfortable there and is saying, oh, I don't want to do that. There's risk and something could go wrong and I could screw up. We have to align these parts of us. We have to get them to kind of meet and come to a meeting of the minds, and we have to figure out, okay, which part is actually going to be in control and when. And we'll talk more about this idea of different parts of you and which one is in control and which one is not, and getting them to meet up and align a little bit later. But for now, I just want you to get clear on the definition of inner friction. What is inner friction? It's when those inner parts of you are not flowing smoothly, when they're conflicting, when they're blocked, when they're not working as a team. And if we can get those parts of you working as a team, we can clear away some of that inner friction. It'll make a straight path to success and productivity. Now, I want to talk for a second about a couple of more practical reasons why we want to get rid of internal friction. There are things that are happening inside of you that you're probably not even aware of consciously that are burning your energy really inefficiently. Okay, so when things happen and they cause friction internally, it actually burns the energy that you have at a higher rate than when you're doing things that, let's say, aren't causing friction. This is another thing that I learned from Tony Schwartz, and I really appreciate this insight. When you are you're in a negative state of mind and you're going through those internal conflicts, and you've got one part of you that wants to go one way and another part that wants to go another way, and you're having this kind of feeling about this and this kind of feeling about that, there's just that internal conflict and friction. It's like when you're driving down the road in your car and you push the gas pedal all the way down. Okay, you're going to speed up, but you're going to start burning gas really inefficiently. Have you ever been in a car that's got the digital readout and it says how many miles per gallon you're currently getting? And you're driving down the freeway, you take your foot off the gas, and all of a sudden it goes way up and you're getting, 79 miles to the gallon. And then you start pushing back down and it comes back down. Well, watch what happens when you push the gas pedal all the way to the floor and it opens up, the engine, and there's just gas pouring in. Well, it drops way down and you'll be getting 4 miles to the gallon. Well, that's what's going on internally. That's what's going on inside of you when you have friction and when you've got those internal conflicts. So friction internally not only burns your fuel, but it burns it more inefficiently. It burns more of it at a time. So one of the important reasons that we want to get rid of friction is because it burns up that fuel, and then we don't have it left over for other things. Another reason why we want to eliminate friction or reduce it as much as possible is that it also burns up the most important energy we have. It burns our willpower. So you remember I was talking about how the rarest and most valuable form of energy we have, the most precious form, is our willpower, and how we only get just a little bit of it? When we have internal friction, it burns up the willpower. So when you're resisting something, you're using your willpower. You remember the experiment that I told you about where they had people watch the movie and they had to repress their emotions? Well, they were experiencing internal conflict and friction, and they were burning their willpower. So it's not only important to get rid of friction to, again, because we want to get to the goal, but it's also important because it burns up the energy that we have, and it burns up the most important energy that we have. It burns up our willpower, and we want to prevent that so that we can use all of our willpower to create new positive routines, and we can focus it on living a better life and getting the things that we want. So how do we get started eliminating internal friction? Well, I think one thing to do is, I actually just talked about it a moment ago, is take a look at the three brains, and that's what I'd like you to do right now, is look at the three areas of your life or the three realms of your life. The physical, okay, or the oldest brain, the emotional, or the middle brain, the mammalian brain, and the logical, or the mental, okay, which is the neocortex. Those are the three realms of life, and let's take a look at those for a moment. And let's consider something like, let's say food, because that's one I think we can all relate to having internal friction over. Take a moment. You might even want to write this down here just to do a quick little exercise so you can get into the habit and you can get into the process of in the routine, right, where it becomes natural to reflect on these things anytime you feel friction. So let's pick a food that you really like the way it tastes, but you don't like the way it makes you feel or the weight that it makes you gain. Okay, so what's that food? What's your favorite guilty pleasure food that just makes you feel horrible after you eat it in the long run, and you know it doesn't make you very healthy, but you really enjoy eating it? So you might want to write that down or just get it in your mind. Good. And now, how about the food that you think is probably the healthiest food you can possibly eat in the world? Okay, raw broccoli, something that I've mentioned before that might come to mind. or something like raw Brussels sprouts, or, you know, some people like to drink a lot of wheatgrass juice, all right? What is probably the most healthy, positive food that you could ever eat in the long term, but it's something in the short term you go, ugh, blech. Okay, good. Now let's examine where the friction is being created there, okay? So reflect for a second. Physically, okay, the taste, texture, enjoyment of the food, and maybe even a little bit of how you feel right after you eat the food. How do you rate each of those, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10? Okay, 1 being low, 10 being high. 1 being, no, not good at all. 10 being, yeah, really good, I really enjoy it. So, you know, if you chose chocolate as your guilt food, and, you know, when you eat chocolate, you just feel amazing. It just tastes so good, like, oh, but after you eat it, it kind of spikes up your energy and the caffeine gets you kind of going and you get wired. And you know that if you eat a lot of chocolate long term, you're probably not going to feel very good in your life. What's the physical aspect? How do you feel physically, scale of 1 to 10? All right, now emotionally. How do you feel emotionally on a scale of 1 to 10 about the chocolate? This is a little tougher one, huh? Because your emotions are very different. You have to try to describe, how do I feel about this food? And then logically, what do you think? What's the logical choice? What's the logical decision here? How good is it for you logically? Okay, good. And now try the, you know, the ultra healthy food. Physically, what do you rate it as? How enjoyable is it physically? Emotionally, how do you feel about it? Scale of 1 to 10. 1, I hate it, like emotionally. 10 being, I really love it emotionally. Okay, and now how about logically? What do you think logically on a scale of 1 to 10? Logically being, no, this is an illogical thing, I shouldn't be doing this. 10 being, this is very logical, this is something I really should be doing for myself. Okay, good. So going through that process, we've kind of teased apart some of our internal friction mechanisms, and we've been able to reflect and see what's going on. See, if you don't know about this, if you don't understand this consciously, when you get into this internal conflict, and you don't realize, you can't pull apart and go, you know what, logically, I know it's the right thing to do. Emotionally, you know, I feel kind of ambivalent about it, but physically, I really want to do it. If you can't make those distinctions, you're going to repress it. You're going to, you know, kind of push out some part of it, or it's going to be too confusing and you're not going to be able to deal with it. So addressing, confronting, facing this internal friction is so important. It's so important. So that's one level that we can operate at, is the three brains level, or the three realms of existence, the physical, the emotional, and the logical. Now let's talk about parts, the parts of you. And this is something that my friend Wyatt Woodsmall has been talking to me about for, probably 10 years now. And only maybe in the last year or so has it really started to make a lot of sense to me. And I've also been studying some other things that talk about this exact same thing, and it all kind of came together. And the basic idea behind parts is that you have many different parts of you, or different personalities inside of you. And there's a different part of you that's in control at a different time. So you have a different part of you that's in control when you're hanging out with your friends and your family. There's a different part of you that's in control when you're alone and you're craving a certain type of food. There's a different part of you that's in control when you're doing things that are maybe hobbies that you enjoy. There are different parts of you that are in control at different times. This is kind of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome. So what we really need to do here is we need to get these parts and meet them all, realize that they're all in there, and they're all trading off control all the time, and then maybe introduce some of them to each other so that when one of them wants to do something one way and another wants to do it the other way, that we have them talk to each other. I realize this sounds a little bit weird, and the challenge with it sounding weird is this is the way that things really operate. This is the way it's going on inside of you. So if you think it sounds weird, try how it's actually happening, okay? So, you know, go with me here. Just kind of work with me on this one a little bit. Another element of the different parts of us, another aspect of this whole thing, is that different parts do things for different reasons, and they get different payoffs. So you might have one part of you that's very selfish and narcissistic and egocentric, and it's always trying to be right. So whenever you're around a really smart person, it gets all defensive and tries to somehow suggest in some way that you know better and you're smarter. And maybe you've got another part of you that really likes to have the approval and adoration of people. And when you're around someone who you really respect, you want to get their approval and their adoration. And maybe you find someone who you really respect them and you want to get their approval, but they're also very smart, and so you want to be right. And these two parts of you are going back and conflicting, and you're sending these mixed messages, and it's a very weird thing. Okay, so there's one way that this parts thing could create some conflict, and each one could be getting a different payoff, and they're creating friction with each other, and it's just a very inefficient process. Another one might be, like I said before, when we were talking about the three different brains, you may have a part of you that just loves physical gratification, and when that part gets into control, you head right for the fridge, or you do something else that's just totally physically gratifying, because that's the part of you. And once it takes control, the rest of you is just gone. But you may have another part of you that really feels guilty for partaking in the pleasures of the flesh, so to speak. And when that part's in control, you beat yourself up. Well, each of these parts has an agenda. It has an outcome. It has a payoff that it's getting from kind of being in control and from doing its thing. Right, so the part that's doing the physical pleasure, it gets the payoff of in the enjoyment of the physical pleasure, and the part that makes you feel guilty, it's getting the payoff of feeling morally superior and more right and righteous and better than other people, and you're this wonderful being. So these different parts of you, they get their payoffs, but they conflict with each other. And so earlier I want to tie this back when I said you have to fire the head of success prevention inside of you. That's a part of you. That's just one of your parts that is doing things that are trying to help you, trying to get you to the next level, that in some ways trying to protect you, whatever. It's trying to do something positive for you, but it's preventing you from success in the big picture. And what we really need to do is, more than firing this part, we need to introduce it to the other parts of you. So here's what I'd like to do right now. Let's do a quick little mini exercise. Which part of you is holding you back from success? Let's see if we can talk to that part of you right now. See if you can pull that part of you up, get in touch with that part of you. It's really a part of you, it's right there. Which part of you is really preventing your success? Now what I'd like to do is ask that part of you, why are you preventing the rest of yourself from success? Why are you preventing the other parts of you from success? And just see what comes up. Ask yourself that question. Good. You probably got an answer. Might have been something like, well, I'm just trying to make sure that we don't take too many risks here, right? Just trying to make sure we don't do anything stupid. Just trying to protect us. Okay, you might get that. Or you might have gotten something totally different. Whatever it is, fine. That's your answer. That's what that part's doing. Now what I'd like to do is talk to another part of you, the part of you that really wants to achieve massive success. Okay? So let's see if we can get in touch with that part. Can you kind of call that part up and see if you can just kind of get into the flow of that part? Good. So now I'd like to ask that part of you, what's preventing you from getting you to that massive success level? What's holding you back right now? You might want to ask yourself that question. Might have worked when I asked. What's the answer that came up for you? Might have been that other part that's holding me back. But whatever the answer was, just honor it. So what I'd like to do is get those two parts of you to meet and have a conversation. So what you're going to do is close your eyes, have those two parts meet, and have them have a conversation about what they're both trying to do. And I know this seems weird, but just go with it. Just try it out. And at the end, see if we can get them to come to some kind of agreement, to work together, to shake hands, and to merge and join together to help you achieve the success that you really want. So pause the video, do that exercise, eyes closed, and then come back and start again. Okay, good. What did you learn from that? What was your big insight? Maybe it was a little insight. Well, you probably could get at least a little bit of a feeling for this idea of having different parts of you that are in conflict with each other. And guess what it creates when you have two parts of you that are trying to do different things? You get friction. And guess what happens when you get friction? You burn your energy inefficiently, and you burn your willpower. And when you got two parts that are conflicting with each other, you're burning off your willpower. Now we're going to do another exercise a little bit later on, to really fine-tune this area. But for now, it's important that you start recognizing when you, number one, when you have friction, when you're feeling it. Number two, when it's a three-brain friction conflict, because that's one of the most common. And then number three, when it's a parts conflict. When one part of you wants to do one thing because it's in control during this time, and another part of you wants to do the other and it's in control at a different time. If you can recognize those things and recognize when they're creating friction, at least you can have some awareness and go, okay, I know what's going on, and I need to step in, and I need to really sort this thing out so that I can get rid of the friction and I can move on congruently. Now, one of the challenges that we face here with the different types of friction is that if you have something and you do it over and over, if you have a type of friction and you repeat the process one time after another, it begins to create one of these structures, one of these hard wirings. Okay, if it's physical, it's that muscle memory where you're used to just moving and doing the same things. If it's emotional, it's one emotion that triggers another and another. If it's mental, it's one thought that triggers another thought and another thought. Because remember, 99% of what you did, felt, and thought today are the same things you probably did, felt, and thought yesterday. Okay, we're just creatures of habit, and we do these things. We might mix them up, and they might trigger each other just a little bit differently, but we're essentially like a train on these rails, and we don't even realize just how much we're on these rails, and we're doing the exact same thing one after another. If you've had a lot of friction in your life and a lot of internal conflict, it has created a structure in there that automatically triggers itself. It's like a set of dominoes. You push one of them over, and it just starts pushing all the rest of them over. And so friction can become a habit. Inner conflict can become a habit. If you've got, you know, a process where every time you think a certain thought, it makes you feel this feeling of guilt, and then you kind of slump over and you start breathing shallow, and then it makes you trigger all these other thoughts, and then you worry about all this other stuff. Eventually, that's going to become a hardwired process. And then all it takes is the little trigger, and it sets off the whole thing. So inner friction can become, you know, very damaging if you let it keep going. And what we want to do is we want to clear this stuff away. We want to streamline the whole process. We want to get these conflicts out of ourselves. So I ask you right now, can you think of any structures that you've created inside of yourself that are like a push button where you push the button and it triggers the feelings, the actions, the thoughts, maybe even the communication? You have any of those in your life? You might want to make a little note of what they are right now and start becoming conscious so that when one gets triggered, you can stop, pause, take a deep breath, and kind of divert over into another direction there. You know, you saw me right here do this little move where I kind of went, okay, right here. You know, in neuro-linguistic programming, they have lots of different exercises, and they're just little mind games. They're little things that we do to play with the way that we perceive things, all right? And one of the things that I do sometimes is I try to draw my, it's just a mental exercise. I try to draw my energy back in when I feel like it's all scattered, or I try and center myself. And I find that aligning my body and centering everything right here makes me feel really centered, all right? There's no weird significance to it. It just really does make me feel centered when I do that. So for you, when you start to feel some friction, something comes up and you feel yourself going, oh, no, darn it. Stop and go, oh, okay. You know, maybe just feel your feet on the ground, feel your hands, stop, take a breath. And you don't need to go down that road. You can create your own diversion mechanism where instead of just pushing that button and triggering all of that internal friction, you stop, you center, and you kind of come back. This can be amazing. This can save you so much energy. It can give you so much more of that willpower that you're burning off with these things. So notice when you have a structure that has been built and created by inner friction, and just notice what triggers it and start to divert. Okay, so to bring this all back around and to summarize what we've talked about, we've been talking about inner friction and inner conflict and how it burns our energy inefficiently and it burns up our willpower. And it robs us of focus and it creates conflict and it just does all kinds of things that we don't want to have happen. And you know, even worse, it builds on itself over time. So as we talk about all these things, I want to talk about one of my inspirations for this model. There's a great book called The Path of Least Resistance by Fritz. And in this book, he starts out by saying, do you know how the streets of Boston were created? And he says that what they did is they paved over the cow paths that were already there. And if you've been to Boston, you know the streets were all screwed up. And he said, you know, when they were coming out west, back when they were first colonizing America, how did they drive their wagons across the country? Well, they followed the paths that were laid down by the buffalo and the other big mammals that had been using them for thousands of years, and they just followed those paths. They were already there. Well, it turns out that the cows that made the paths in Boston and the buffalo and the other herd animals that made them across America, all they were doing is they were following the path of least resistance in their life. And they just put one step in front of the other, and they followed the others. And eventually, these paths got made. And then we went and we paved over them. Now, Ralph, on my team, who works with me, he often will say, are we just paving over a cow path, or are we building a four-lane superhighway? And I think this is a really neat metaphor here, because what most of us have done is we've just followed the path of least resistance. We've just done the thing that was the easiest, or we did the thing that just came naturally to us, and then we did it over and over. And a lot of this stuff is games we've been playing since we were kids. And once we become more conscious of this stuff, and we become conscious of the fact that we took those cow paths and we paved over them, right, with our muscle memory and our emotional triggers and our thoughts and, you know, the inner butterflies and all this stuff, we go, oh, so I paved over the cow paths. I didn't intentionally build a four-lane superhighway. And the cow path is mangled and it's weird and it's very inefficient and it's not streamlined. Well, maybe it's time now for you to build some four-lane superhighways and to put structures in place that support your life so that the path of least resistance is not to go down that old path that actually causes a lot of friction, but it's to build intentional paths with this new awareness, with this new consciousness. Now, we don't have time in this program to go into things like behavioral modeling and advanced concepts on inner strategies and so forth, but I'll just give you a little hint. Everything that you do is a process, and it's a very complex process. It's more complex than you could ever imagine. And if you'll start becoming conscious of all the steps that you take in everything you do and how automatic you are every day in almost everything you do, you'll start to have a lot more awareness. When you realize that when you tie your shoes, you do it in a very specific way. The exact motions that you go through are different from the motions the next person goes through and the next person. Watch a couple of other people tie their shoes. When you make a decision internally about what to eat, the process that you go through is very complex. There are a lot of different steps that involve how you feel, internally in your body, your emotions, your mind, the pictures you make, and they're mostly very inefficient. They're not very optimized. And so you might start noticing these things now that you're seeing some of this inner friction and it's calling to mind, and you might start building some of these four-lane superhighways to just go really simple. I'll give you an example in my own life right now. For a lot of years, I was someone that really liked to eat a variety of things. In fact, variety was so important to me that I couldn't even imagine eating the same thing twice within a, you know, certain span of time, unless I went to one of my favorite restaurants and got some food and maybe took home the leftovers and then, you know, attacked them at midnight, that kind of thing. Now in my life, I eat probably 80% to 90% of the food that I eat is the exact same food every day. Now, I have a big variety of the foods that are within the different meals, but it's the same meals in the same order almost every day. How could that be? And here's the weird part. I actually like the food that I eat every day more than I like other food. I don't go through the trouble to go find other food anymore. It seems very weird. And when I tell people about this, they immediately go, well, aren't you bored with it? And is that okay? Is that healthy? And I would have thought the exact same thing. But here's what I've done over the last couple of years. I took the logic. I said, okay, if there are, you know, 35,000 foods in your average supermarket, I heard that there's something like 35,000 foods. Say there are 35,000 foods. In that supermarket, probably 35 of them are the ones that have the most nutrients. They're the most nutritious. They're the ones that'll make me feel the best and make me live the longest. And in fact, it's probably on a, you know, a distribution curve where those 35 are really, really healthy, and then it falls off very sharply right after that. By the way, I've come to believe that right now. I think that that's really the truth. So I used that logic, and I thought, how would I feel if I only ate the healthiest foods? And I created some dishes where instead of, you know, every meal that I eat is like a 10 in terms of taste, maybe every meal that I eat is between a 6 and an 8, and I enjoy it, but the feeling that I have, the energy that I have for the next few hours is a 9 or a 10, and how I feel for the rest of my life is a 9 or a 10, right? Rather than getting the 10 up front and then feeling crummy and feeling a 2 or 3 for the next few hours and then, you know, getting all kinds of weird diseases and having my skin look bad and just not feeling good and getting sick all the time, that seemed like a good trade-off. So I streamlined, and it took a long time to find all these different foods and make these very simple meals that I can eat. Well, now my internal process is, what time is it? Okay, it's been 2.5 hours since I had my last meal. It's time to eat. I know what the next meal is. I eat it. I enjoy it. And it's over. I have freed up so much time and so much energy in my life trying to figure out where I'm going to eat. Oh, should I eat that? Shouldn't I eat that? And while it sounds counterintuitive, and a lot of people, again, say, oh, I couldn't do that, I would have said the exact same thing. I mean, I love variety. When I go out traveling and, you know, I'm hanging out with some friends and we go out to a good restaurant and I, you know, cheat a little bit, I go, wow, yeah, this is really good. Actually, you know, the irony of it all is that when I eat out now and I go have other foods that are my guilty favorites, they taste 100 times better than they used to, and they're super enjoyable. And then I want to go right back to the foods that I eat normally because they make me feel good all the time and they kind of build the foundation so that I can go enjoy that once in a while. It's kind of a weird thing. The point that I'm trying to make here is I never would have thought that I could be eating like this in my life. I never would have imagined it. But by streamlining the choice process, by getting rid of all that inner conflict, by making my strategy very simple, I have freed up, I probably get an extra hour or two a day of real time that I used to spend thinking about, worrying about, figuring out what I'm going to eat, going and getting all the different food, goofing around with it. I mean, I probably, you know, that probably is 30 to 60 hours a month that I have freed up. Not to mention, I don't have that complex inner process anymore where I'm going back and forth and I deal with all that internal friction where I'm burning up my energy. So that's just one example right here. But the point I'm trying to make is these strategies that you have inside of yourself are very complex, and these structures have been laid and that you've paved over them with years of layers, and you got to start becoming conscious of them. You got to pay attention to them. And then when you realize, oh, I've got one, you need to put a new simple structure in place and then rehearse it and make it into a ritual and do it over and over and over. And I think that this process, if you really take it to heart and you really just look at your life, will get you a tremendous, you know, an unbelievable return on investment, just spending a little bit of time over the next, you know, months, years, decades of your life. The return will be unbelievable. In fact, I think it'll be the highest return that you'll get on anything that you could possibly do in your life. Okay, so let's do a couple of exercises right now. The first one is let's identify the largest sources of inner friction that you have right now. Okay, the biggest sources of inner friction. Where are you operating the most inefficiently? Where do you have the biggest internal conflicts? Okay, and I'm not even going to go any deeper. I think you know what I mean right now. So pause this for just a moment and write down on one piece of paper, just write down the areas where you have the biggest inefficiency, where you have the biggest internal conflict, where you're burning the most energy by dealing with that, those forces coming up against each other, pulling in two different directions. So go ahead and make that list, 5 minutes maximum. Okay, go. Good. Now what I'd like you to do is look down at that list, take the top three, okay, put a little star next to the top three, the three that are robbing you of the most energy and that are just taking up the most of your brain power and kind of keeping you trapped in that inefficiency, in that friction. And what I'd like you to do is ask, what is the payoff you're getting from that? Okay, in psychology, they have this term, the secondary payoff, where you might be doing something that looks counterproductive. It looks like it's just couldn't make any sense, but there's a secondary payoff that you get. As an example, someone might act passive-aggressive when they're around other people that are trying to talk to them, and they just, they're arguing and resisting everything. Well, the secondary payoff they might be getting is feeling superior. Inside, they might be making themselves feel important, and they're doing it, but it's just inefficient. So you gotta recognize the payoff that you're getting from that thing that you're doing. What's the benefit that some part of you is getting, or the secondary payoff that you're getting? So go ahead and write that down next to each of those three items. Go ahead and pause this and do that now, and then come back. Okay, good. Now, finally, what I'd like to do is I'd like to create three new strategies, three new processes, three new simple, streamlined, maybe 3, 4, 5-step processes maximum that you're going to go through when you come into the situation that used to trigger one of those old kind of friction creating messes inside of you. So, you know, as an example, let's say that one of the problems that you have is that every day you immediately start thinking, oh, I need to have some junk food. I want to have some junk food. And then you go into this whole thing where you're like, oh, I shouldn't have the junk food, but it'll screw up my meal plan for the day and I'll get off track, but I really want some. And then you're thinking about it, you're obsessing, and you're going, oh, I feel guilty because I'm thinking about it. Okay, let's say that that's the thing that's robbing you of energy. So what could be a new process that you put in place that has maximum maybe 3 steps, maybe 4 or 5 at the most? Okay, one of them might be you find yourself a really healthy meal alternative. Maybe it's a really healthy protein bar. Not one of these candy bars that's, you know, trying to be passed off as a protein bar, but a really healthy, you know, maybe all natural, close to raw protein bar you find at the health food store, and you get a bunch of those and you keep them in your house. And from now on, whenever you have that trigger of, I feel like I want to go eat some junk food, the first thing you do is you go drink a 0.5 liter of water. First thing, boom. Soon as it comes to you, is you drink a 0.5 liter of water, and then that'll fill you up a little bit. And then if the feeling comes back, you immediately go and eat one of these raw protein bars, you know, one of these healthy protein bars. And that's just maybe 2 steps that you've got right there. And you put it in the way. Now, why are you doing that? Because what you know is that if you don't immediately take action, if you don't go right into that new process, you're going to keep torturing yourself. And now I know you don't want to have to feel like you have to, you know, treat yourself like a child. And we don't want to have to go, oh, no, I want to be able to think that I can control myself. The bottom line is we can't control ourselves most of the time. We're creatures of habit. We do the exact same things over and over and over. And so we put these stop gaps in place. We put these things to support ourselves. They're like little training wheels that we put on once in a while. So until we get our, you know, our support level under control. I mean, you can do other things. You can get accountability around this area. You can do a lot of stuff. But put a simple process in place for each of those 3 areas that create massive internal friction. And don't even worry about it anymore. Okay, don't get into, is it a good idea? Should I be doing it? Oh, I should be able to control that with my mind. I don't want to have to admit that I can't do this. Get rid of all that stuff. Just throw it out. We're just getting to action here. Okay, we're accepting ourselves as we are, and we're getting right into action. So go ahead for a second right now. Make, you know, take 5 minutes and maybe just write to a simple 3-step process that you can use whenever one of those old mechanisms of friction gets triggered, whenever one of those conflicts comes up, so you can get right to action and get right to productivity and eliminate it immediately. Okay, so go do that and then come back. I got one more thing for you. Good, go. Okay, good. You did a bunch of tough work there. That was really good stuff. So now what we're going to do is we're going to keep fine-tuning our personal success ritual. Okay, you're doing your personal success ritual every morning, I hope. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. What we're going to do is we're going to add a couple of more little extra credit things to it if you're up for it. The first thing that we'd like to add is we want to add a little bit of visualization and affirmation. Visualization and affirmation. I like to do this stuff after I've done my exercise. Okay, after you've worked out some of the physical energy inside of yourself, and you've kind of gotten yourself to where you've expended some energy, you calm down, and now your mind can think clearly. So what I like to do is I like to close my eyes and I like to visualize the things that I want to get done today. I want to visualize the positive outcomes that I want to make happen. In this case, what you can do is you can visualize some of those new strategies that you have. Okay, so you might take 60 seconds for each of those new strategies. Just go through them and visualize when that old trigger comes up that triggers the internal conflict and the friction and triggers that structure that just, you know, gets fired off. You go, okay, what am I going to do differently? All right, I want to visually rehearse that inside of my mind. The next thing, and this is for super extra credit, is to do 5 minutes of meditation in the morning. Okay, 5 minutes of meditation. This also I like to do after the exercise because it allows my mind to calm down. And we're not going to do any super advanced weird meditation. All we're going to do is we're going to close our eyes and we're going to pay attention to our breath for 5 minutes. We're going to breathe intentionally. And a simple meditation exercise that you can do is you can sit down, you can just sit comfortably on a chair, get in a comfortable position where you're seated, close your eyes, and control your breathing intentionally. And just breathe in slowly for a count of 8, Hold for a count of four. Breathe out slowly for a count of eight. Hold for a count of four. Breathe in slowly for a count of eight. Hold for a count of four. Breathe out slowly for a count of eight. Hold for a count of four. And while you're doing it, focus on the feeling of the breathing. Just focus on the feeling of the breathing. And you'll notice that your mind's going to run off. The monkey mind is going to run off and do a bunch of things. And all we're doing here is we're trying to give our mind a rest, okay? Because what we want to do, and we're going to be doing this a little bit more in future sessions, is we're going to be expanding our focus. We're going to be expanding our ability to focus on one thing for a long period of time. And just like exercising and working your muscles, we want to start, you know, working our mind, but then letting it relax. And that's what we're doing with meditation here. Again, no kind of weird advanced practice. We're just going to relax the mind, and what you do is you let it go, and you just focus on breathing in and breathing out. And when the thoughts come, let them go. Don't judge them. Don't get weird about it. Just relax. Focus on the breathing. Just breathe in and out calmly. Just do that for 5 minutes. I find that using a little pocket timer, a little digital timer that you can get for $5 or $10 works great. You just put it on 5 minutes. You don't have to worry about it. Am I going to go too long? Meditate for 5 minutes. Do some of this visualization. Visualize the outcome that you want to have. If you will add these elements to your personal success ritual in the morning, I think you'll find that your day just goes better. Your day just goes incredibly better. You'll find you'll get to the end of the day and you'll have accomplished so much more because you knew the direction that you were going, right? You started out making yourself strong. You started out by thinking about the things you wanted to improve structurally in your life and systemically. And you started out thinking about the things that you wanted to achieve during that day. So just go ahead and take all those different techniques and mix them together, and then come back next week for session 4, and we're going to take all of these ideas to the next level. All right, I'll talk to you then.